Clive James, writer, TV critic, presenter, poet, song lyricist, a true Renaissance man. In 2010, he was diagnosed with leukemia, and 2 years later, he admitted in an interview that the disease had beaten him and that he was near the end. He's still with us, and as I mentioned to him when we spoke, he seems to have done quite a bit since he wrote himself off.
It's the kind of joke I tend to make now, which is to cover my embarrassment, because I have promised several times in poems and interviews and so on that I have not long to live, and then embarrassingly I pop up again. I think the answer is that the drugs keep on getting better. If you stay alive long enough, then the technology will be still, developing itself in order to save you. Anyway, we won't go into detail, but let's say that I'm alive at this moment, although if I suddenly go silent on the air, you know what it is.
I shouldn't be laughing about this, should I? But...
Well, laughing is the only thing to do. And why not? I've got the easy version of fading out. Other people have it worse.
Well, this is 2 years now after there were reports of your imminent death. What did you mean there?
Well, I did feel I was going to die. I had already almost died a couple of times by then. And I thought, this can't go on. And I said that in the presence of a interviewing crew, and a journalist picked it up before it even got to air. And the story went, gratifyingly, got into the newspapers. I didn't realise I was such news. And so I kind of stuck with it. And I really was bad a couple of years ago. Things have come on a bit since. But my leukemia went into remission, for example. Unfortunately, it is now back again, so I'm back in chemo. But since the chemo really livens you up, you get the unexpected benefit that you can give a really cracking interview.
What did you mean when you said there, Clive, that you've got it easy? How on earth could you have it easy?
Well, if you hang around hospitals very much, and in my condition you have to, you see a lot of people, especially young ones, who are in terrible shape and always have been, and they haven't really had a life. And it's impossible not to conclude that one's very lucky to have had a life and to be fading out in a natural manner. I've been alive a long time now. I was practically there for the invention of the aeroplane. It's enough, and if I snuff out soon, I'll have nothing to complain about. Meanwhile, I have a terrific subject, which I wasn't expecting. I've got a whole new range of experience to write about. Ill health, sickness, hospitals. I'm having a tremendous fun writing all that.
But you said there it's enough. So do you? Like I'm 41. I'm
41.
Nearly,
you're a youngster.
Well,
you in long pants.
But are you saying that when you get to a certain age, it is enough? Do you not want to live forever?
Well, of course I want to live forever, but I, dumb as I am, have figured out that it can't be done, and the best you're going to get is a reasonable shot at it. But I behave as if I'm going to live forever. Because when you get really sick, which I did in 2010, you're faced with a choice between two courses of action. One is you can lie down and congratulate yourself on having done what you could do, and the other is to get ahead with it as if you had it forever. And I chose the second course. And I've got quite a lot done since then. I've got this new book of poems done, which is just coming out now, Sentenced to Life. I got a book of essays on poetry, Poetry Notebook. I'm working on a couple of other books, and I keep busy. Since I love what I do, it's a great blessing because there's nothing else to do. So although I've only got half my energy, I'm using it twice as well.
I'm interested in... So what you've done is you've embraced what's happening to you because you can do nothing about it. And therefore, that helps you get up every day.
Well, there again, I'm lucky because the version I've got of fading away doesn't hurt. A lot of people are in pain, and then it would be very hard to concentrate, and I'm not so sure I could do that. I'm not so sure I would have achieved anything if I was in pain. But I'm not, and so I got this whole new range of experience to write about, and some of it's even funny. I'm not afraid of being dead because death is not in life. Death is nothing. The actual process of dying, well, I could be afraid of that if I thought it was going to hurt. I'm negotiating furiously with the hospital to get a version of death that doesn't hurt at all. But I suppose...
Well, what would that be?
I don't know. I don't want to catch a plane to Switzerland and a euthanasia clinic.
Why not?
Well, I think some people should... and should have the right to, but I would feel that was a bit of a drain on the national health, and I'm quite content to die a natural death, as content as anyone can be. I might feel a bit different when the day comes, but at the moment, I don't see a lot to fear. What I fear is for other people, and by extension, what might have happened to me in different circumstances, which is dying young. When I was growing up in Australia in the 1940s, early 1940s, millions of children were being killed all over Europe for no reason at all. And I never forgot that. And I count myself lucky to have had a life.
Do you think you've lived a good life?
Well, I'm not so sure it would pass the standard religious tests, but yeah, reasonably. The standard crimes and deficiencies. But I think I've done my best to achieve things. And if I hadn't been able to write, God knows what would have happened. I probably would have been an unsuccessful criminal of some kind. Bank robbery was always attractive.
You were hired by The Observer, weren't you, after you went to... You began for The Listener, The New Statesman, The Review, then hired by The Observer. So writing was in your blood for a long time.
Yeah, between 1972 and 1982, I wrote a column on television every week for The Observer, and I suppose that was the foundation of my career in England. And I enjoyed it very much, because writing about TV, I saw instantly it was an opportunity to write about everything. And I had a wonderful time. And I suppose it was the basis of everything I do. And also, it paid reasonably well. I'm not so sure that journalism pays quite as well as it used to.
Well, it does in telly, doesn't it?
On telly, you can make millions, but I never did.
Did you not? I would have.
No. I owned my own company in an attempt to get my hands on the product. I never did. So there was never any Clarkson money or Jonathan Ross money in my picture. I don't begrudge them that for an instant. You should own the product if you can. But it never happened. But I did all right. There's no complaining.
Wow. Because I would have thought, Clive James on television.
I didn't own it.
But it was massive. So you weren't on the big type of Clarkson money?
No, they pay you up front to buy out your rights. And if you're smart enough and powerful enough, you fight for your rights to keep them, especially the foreign rights. And God knows what the Top Gear boys earn, but it must be a fortune because they've got a piece of the action. There's no point bitching about it, but in my day it was a bit harder. So I was in and out of television before the really big money arrived. And I'm not complaining for a second because television paid the rent.
And when you say you were fighting for it, were you not? Did you not have the confidence at the time because you were very?
Oh yeah, and I had everything. I had the lawyers and everything. It was just harder.
And they stood their ground.
Oh, the companies had the power. Yeah, they have less power now. The stars have more power. It's that simple.
You mentioned Clarkson, by the way. Of course, he's got.
That's all I'm going to say about Clarkson. I've got no opinions about whether he should be reinstated. He's certainly a tremendous problem the BBC has created. I think they pretty well had to let the Top Gear boys go on with their touring show. There would have been millions and millions of pounds worth of tickets that had to be returned, and everyone would have ended up suing the BBC. So it was a huge problem, starting from a very small cause, it seemed to me. I thought several times during my career, if I'd spent a whole day's working with the promise of a hot meal at the end of it and all they gave him was a sandwich, I probably would have gone nuts.
Clive, here you have Jeremy Clarkson. He's punched someone.
Yeah, I'm not going to comment on it. Here's the reason. I don't want to be quoted on it because if I do say something, anything definite, it'll be in the papers tomorrow about is my opinion about the Clarkson case, and I have no opinion. Let them sort it out.
Of course you have an opinion. You're just canny enough to avoid it.
Yeah, I'm a canny man.
Of course you do.
Not canny enough to have made all those millions of pounds we're talking about.
And did you miss telly when it ended?
No. It was time to go for me. There were other things that I wanted to do, get on with. I always had got on with them, but I really wanted to concentrate on them exclusively, and especially writing.
That's where your heart is, in the novels.
Well, my heart is in criticism and poetry, not the novel so much. All my friends write novels.
So I don't get poetry. Maybe I'm just...
Don't worry, it's either not meant for you or you haven't reached it yet. You're only 42. You're just a kid.
41. Stop you aging me. So I'm maybe just not cultured enough. So sell it to me. Why?
No, I can't sell it to you. Yeah. And anyway, you're not telling the truth because there must be several lines of Shakespeare that you know.
Yeah.
If I said to be or not to be, you know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Yeah.
And then, of course, you get poetry. You're just too lazy to have read the rest of it. There'll be time, don't worry.
Why does it drive you, though? What is it for you?
It always did. I just like the sound of words. I like the sound of what we're doing now. It's fun. It's an extraordinary, intense human experience, and it's only human. No other animals do it. Parrots sometimes pretend they're doing it, but they don't.
What a lovely thing to say. You like the sound of words.
Oh, sure. Yeah, and that's why I love touring Ireland, because the whole of the Irish population loves the sound of words. They go for the blarney.
And can you describe some of what you've written for me?
Well, my new book, Sentence to Life, which is just out now and doing very well even before publication. I don't quite understand that. It's number one in the Amazon.co's poetry list. And it hasn't even come out yet. I don't know how that works. It's a new world. But it's full of poems that I've written in the last few years, mainly about being ill, being old, and about to die. And I'm making that as interesting as possible. I think some of my best poems are in it. And I would recommend them heavily, especially to you, because you'll be old and ill one day.
What's interesting? Oh, you say I want to die young.
A long time from now.
I want to die young. I don't want to get old.
Well, you're at the age where you can still fool yourself that you won't. I remember that age very well. Burning the candle at both ends, they used to call it.
Yeah, well, I work 7 days a week, yeah.
All right, and you've got no bad habits at all.
Oh, loads. What is interesting? You say, what's interesting about getting old and dying?
This is interesting about it. It's going to happen to everyone. Men, women and dogs. Nobody gets out of life alive. I wish I'd said that. Some people say that I said that, but I that line is actually from a marvellous movie called... Paul Newman was in it. Hud, that's right. I forget who wrote it. Lovely line.
You can't go back to Sydney again.
No, I'm not well enough because I've got a very low oxygen count. It's called oxygen saturation level, and there's not enough oxygen in an airliner's cabin, so I'd have to take oxygen cylinders, which all sounds a bit awkward. And if I went by boat, I would need immunoglobulin transfusions. Let's not go into details, but I'm just not going to get there. But it's in my imagination. There's a lot of poems in my book about that, about remembering what Sydney was like and Australia generally. I'm very pleased with those poems because, strangely, I'm remembering very clearly what my childhood was like. Much more clearly than I ever did.
Really? No, that's interesting.
Yeah, I think that's a mechanism of the mind as you get towards the end, that early memories get sharper.
Can you describe some of those early memories?
Well, yes, I can. Sunlight, sparkling water, wonderful sunsets like opals, the juice of opals spread through the white clouds, the shadows of the fruit bats flying low over the trees, and the possums fighting in the Moreton Bay figs. How much of this do you want? It's all in my poems.
A lot of it.
It makes you long to go there already, doesn't it? Everybody should see Australia.
This interview isn't about me, but there's so much that you're talking about that I can relate to, because you talk about the mind, and for some reason, and this probably sounds weird, but There was a football pitch, Clive, that I used to play on as a little boy, and I wasn't tall enough to reach up to the goalpost bar, the top bar, and I, as a 41-year-old man, I haven't lived in that area since I was 8 years of age, and I go up still probably about once or twice a year,
and I stand on that football pitch and I stand in between the goalposts and I look up at that goalpost bar now and I can touch it. And for some reason, it really does something for me. And
for a moment there, you were reminding me of the England football team. The goalie unable to reach the bar. I actually think the Australian football team is rather better and probably did better in the last World Cup.
What do you think it is, though, about that now that you're nearing your end of your life?
It's the way memory works. It's with you all the time. And the mechanism of it is very complex. And when you get very old, you'll start to see the way it works. It's always with you.
What are your special memories as a child? What are the special things that you treasure that happened to you or you experienced?
I wrote a poem which is in this book.
I need to read this book, don't I?
Yes, you do. Sentence to Life. It's available now. Don't be the only person you know not to have read it. I'll read you the poem if you like.
I would love you to.
This poem is called Cabin Baggage. And it goes like this. My niece is heading here to stay with us. Before she leaves home, she takes careful stock of what she might not know again for years. The berries, so she writes, have been brought in, but she'll be gone before the peaches come. On days of burning sun, the air is tinged with salt and eucalyptus. Why am I leaving all this behind? I feel a fool. But I can tell from how she writes things down, the distance will assist her memories to take full form. She travels to stay still. I wish I'd been that smart before I left. Instead, I have to dig deep for a trace of how the beach was red hot underfoot, the green gold of the Christmas beetle's wing. See, it's simple, but that's full of sense impressions of Australia. And the beach was hot, too hot to stand on sometimes.
It's such a pity you can't go back, isn't it?
Well, I'm back in my imagination. And how much do you want? I would like to go to Paris again, or Rio de Janeiro, or Buenos Aires, one of my favourite cities. And Tokyo I love. I learned to love the whole world. I did a lot of travelling. I was very lucky. And made programmes about all these places. And I love Australia especially because I was born there, but then I've seen very few countries that I didn't love.
Do you believe in an afterlife?
No. The afterlife is here. All the heaven and hell you can handle are right here with us now.
So you believe that that's it?
You can
it?
Go to the Middle East right now and you can see hell.
So you believe that's it?
And heaven's in the garden right here beside me.
So when your heart stops, that's it. You're done, you're finished.
Sure.
That's the end.
I would say, even say it was obvious, but I don't want to insult people.
And what have you got to still live for? What are your dreams?
I've still got books to finish, and I never did write a play, which I would love to have done. And when I can't see anymore, which might happen because my vision is failing, I've only got one eye that works, then I'll start listening again, and I'll listen to classical music. And I've got a great program of classical music I want to listen to again. There's plenty to live for. And there's my family. We have a lot of fun. And my granddaughter's in and out of the house all the time.
Blindness must...
You've got to be ready for it.
How can you ever prepare for that, Clive?
Well, people do. James Thurber, the great cartoonist and writer, knew he was going blind and just taught himself to make bigger and bigger drawings.
That's where your imagination will be important again, isn't it?
It's physiology. If things shut down, then you find other compensations. I don't have to be that tough. There was a historian until quite recently. He's dead now, alas. He was completely paralyzed and wrote some of his greatest books with just, I forget, I think he was pressing the keys of his computer with a chopstick held in his teeth or something. It's amazing what people will do to express themselves. But expressing yourself, I think, is basic. We all want to do it, don't we?
So from an older man like you, what would your advice be to a younger man like me?
Study hard.
and read more poems.
Yeah, pick up Hamlet again and go from the bit you know and read the rest. And
seriously, though, what would your advice be to someone listening to this now?
Well, it depends who they are. If they're young and they want to read and write, I would say get on with it. Don't be scared of the big books. Get them read. Write something. Write something every day. Just keep going. Don't let anything stop you, if that's what you really want to do. But if it's not what you really want to do, then do stop and go and do something useful. Be a policeman. Be a hospital orderly.
Your book is called Sentenced to Life. It's out now. Clive, a real pleasure. Thank you, sir. Thank you.